Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
It's World Radio Day! And on that note, let me say once again, thanks for tuning in this evening to the sunny side of sports. Vincent Maloba, a constable with the Kenya Police's Diplomats Protection Unit, and the self-proclaimed beat cop of the sunny side of sports, sent me a nice Facebook message from Nairobi. Vincent writes that listening to the radio is a hobby he loves. And Vincent says, let's celebrate World Radio Day, as well as the 75th anniversary year of the Voice of America. Vincent says, listening to the VOA is a tradition he began a long time ago, and he enjoys hearing my voice on the radio. And still with World Radio Day, the beat cop of the sunny side of sports says it's a pleasure to listen to the show via 107.5 FM in Nairobi, the Voice of America's FM stream in the Kenyan capital. Thanks for listening, Vincent! Vincent also wishes Heather Maxwell, the host of the VOA's Music Time in Africa show, a pleasant visit to Tanzania and Zanzibar. Heather traveled to Tanzania and Zanzibar from Kenya, and Vincent thanked Heather for playing a song he requested. Thanks for the nice VOA feedback, Vincent. Oloyede Ayodele, no address given, sent me an email on World Radio Day. And Oyelede wants to talk about the indomitable Lions of Cameroon, recently winning their fifth Africa Cup of Nations football title. Oloyede writes, the story of the indomitable Lions at the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations in Gabon is without doubt similar to what happened to the Super Eagles of Nigeria at the 2013 tournament in South Africa. That is, winning the trophy against all expectations. But rather than being a morale booster, writes Oloyede, we all know what's happened to the Super Eagles since then. They failed to qualify for both Equatorial Guinea 2015 and Gabon 2017. But Oloyede is feeling better about Nigeria's chances of qualifying for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Oloyede writes, while they, referring to Cameroon, seem to be in the driver's seat regarding upcoming World Cup qualifiers with Nigeria, I think the Super Eagles will surely get the World Cup ticket. In fact, after winning their first two World Cup qualifiers in African qualifying Group B, the Super Eagles have a 4-point lead over the indomitable Lions in the race for Russia 2018. And Nigeria will have home field advantage when it plays Cameroon at the end of August, when World Cup qualifying resumes in Africa. Thanks for writing, Oloyede! The Sunny Side of Sports welcomes your comments. You can send me email at sunny@voanews.com. Sunny is spelled S-O-N-N-Y. And pick up a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. My full postal mailing address is The Sunny Side of Sports, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, room 1613, Washington, D.C., 20237.
This is the Voice
of America. Washington, D.C.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life.
Joining us now with a package of African football news is reporter Samson Omale.
We begin with the Madagascar FA president, Ahmed Ahmed, whose ambition to dethrone Issa Hayatou as CAF president received a boost with the unanimous endorsement of all 14 members of the Council of Southern African Football Associations. COSAFA stated it is unanimously endorsing the candidature of Madagascar FA president, Ahmed Ahmed, for CAF president in the upcoming CAF elections in Ethiopia. Staying with CAF news, the first leg matches of the 2017 CAF Champions League's preliminary round were brought to a close with seven matches on Sunday. Tanzania's Young Africans put one foot in the next round with a comprehensive 5-1 away win over Comoros Ngaya Club, while Al Ahly Tripoli also took major strides towards qualification with a 3-1 away triumph over Ghanaian champions Wa All Stars. The rest of the matches were more closely contested. Cameroon's Cotton Sport defeated Atabara 2-0 at home, but will have a tough return trip to South Sudan next weekend. It's the same story for AC Leopards, Barak Young Controllers, and Gambia Ports Authority, all 1-0 home winners over USM, Stade Malien, and Suez Sports respectively. The 23 preliminary round ties will be completed with second leg matches next weekend of the 17th to the 19th of February. Now to some domestic football leagues across the continent. The Nigerian Professional Football League leaders Plateau United suffered their first loss of the season after they went down 2-1 at Akwa United. However, the Jos Club remained top of the standings with 17 points from 8 matches, 3 points clear of closest rivals APS FC, who drew 2-2 at troubled Sunshine Stars. Elsewhere in South Africa, shocking scenes of violence played out at Loftus Versfeld Stadium in an APSA Premiership match between Mamelodi Sundowns and Orlando Pirates in the South Africa Premier League, as fans vented their fury with a pitch invasion as a rampant Mamelodi Sundowns took a 6-0 lead against Orlando Pirates on Saturday. The match was stopped with approximately 8 minutes remaining. I am Samson Omale in Cape Town, South Africa.
During this 75th anniversary year of the Voice of America's first broadcast, let's listen to this message from VOA Director Amanda Bennett.
"75 years ago, Voice of America made its first broadcast. Today, we broadcast in over 45 languages all over the world. We broadcast in every means that people could possibly want to receive their news and information. We use radio still. We use television. We broadcast for the web, for mobile, and if new forms of communication are invented, we'll be there too. Our mission is really, really simple. We give neutral, fair, objective, independent news and information to people who have no other access to it. And we tell America's story. And America's story is rich and full. It goes from the entrepreneurial climate of Silicon Valley to our great universities to health and medicine and medical advances. It's also the story of America's diaspora, the people who came here from all over the world. I started my journalistic career more than 50 years ago. And here today at Voice of America, I remember just why I became a journalist. It's such a privilege to be working here with the great men and women who are telling America's story and providing neutral news and information around the world. I'm so happy to be here at Voice of America as it celebrates its 75th anniversary, and I feel proud to welcome it into the next 75 years.
Voice of America!
Golf news now on the Voice of America. American star Jordan Spieth has captured the ninth PGA Tour title of his young career, winning the Pebble Beach Pro-Am in Northern California.
It was a lot of fun. It's great to have your name anywhere around this place. The greats of the game all have theirs here. So it was a bucket list type win. For me, this was as well as I've struck the ball closing a tournament, I think, ever. I kind of make it interesting, unfortunately, in the past, and I stayed true to hitting greens. This is the most greens regulation I've ever hit on a Sunday with the lead. And to be able to come in and not really stress, and just only stress I had was why the birdie putts weren't going in, that's awesome. I can take that going forward. Got a lot of confidence in my putter back this week. And it wasn't far off. I knew it wasn't. It was just a matter of one goes, they all start going, the hole looks bigger. So that fortunately happened. Going to from one of my favorite courses in the world to one of my favorite this next week to try and carry on this momentum as we dive into the season.
Jordan Spieth dove into the season with a four-shot victory over former U.S. amateur champion Kelly Kraft. My Voice of America producer this evening, Bill Werkinger, was telling me right before the show what a beautiful course Pebble Beach is. Well, I watched some of the final round on television. The scenery was spectacular on the Monterey Peninsula of California. And 23-year-old Jordan Spieth showed off some pretty spectacular golf at Pebble Beach, tallying 14 straight pars. And then he knocked in a 30-foot birdie shot on the par 3 17th hole. Jordan Spieth, the winner of the Pebble Beach Pro-Am Golf Tournament in Northern California. The National Basketball Association will hold its annual All-Star Game on February 19th in New Orleans, Louisiana. Let's take a look at the standings as we get ready for the All-Star break. Right now, the Golden State Warriors, who played in the NBA Finals last year, losing to the Cleveland Cavaliers, they have the league's best record, 46 wins and 8 losses. Right behind Golden State in the Western Conference is the San Antonio Spurs, with a record of 41 victories and 13 defeats. Turning to the Eastern Conference, well, the reigning NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers, they have the best record in the conference, 37 wins and 16 losses. The Boston Celtics are next with a record of 35 victories and 19 defeats. And my beloved Washington Wizards, playing some excellent basketball in recent months. They're in third place in the Eastern Conference with a record of 32 wins and 21 losses. Speaking of the Wizards, they welcome Russell Westbrook and the Oklahoma City Thunder to their home court, later on Monday evening. Westbrook is having a spectacular season, much like that spectacular golf played by Jordan Spieth. He's averaging double figures right now, Westbrook, in three different statistical categories: points per game, rebounds, and assists. Westbrook, 31.2 points per game, 10.5 rebounds per game, and 10.2 assists per game. The last time a player averaged a triple-double in the NBA was way back in 1961-62 when Oscar Robertson did it. So a historic season so far by Russell Westbrook. Let's welcome back my VOA colleague, Andrew Palcheski, who's returning to our Voice of America airwaves after 5 weeks, count them, 5 weeks of grand jury duty here in Washington, D.C. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. It's good to say that after 5 weeks. It's good to be back here and be back here with you in Studio 22.
I know some of our Voice of America listeners, Andrew, might be wondering exactly what is a grand jury here in the USA?
Yeah, so what a grand jury does, it's not like a what they call a petit jury, as you might be familiar with from TV, a trial jury determining guilt or innocence. A grand jury looks at cases and determines if there's probable cause for the crime having been committed. So more likely than not that a crime was committed. So we're just determining this is the base level, if they can proceed with going forward and going to trial. So we weren't determining whether people did the things that they said or didn't. We were determining if it was likely that they did those things.
How many people typically serve on a grand jury?
So typically in a grand jury, there are 23 people that serve. You need 16 people to be there. So it gives you a little bit of leeway if people need to take a day off here or there. And then of the people that are there, you need 12 people to vote to proceed with an indictment. So a little bit of the math there. And actually, the interesting fun fact about grand juries, there are only two countries in the world that use the common law system that have grand juries still in the, consistently. One is the United States. The other is Liberia. So perhaps some of our listeners out there might be familiar with the grand jury process out there.
One final question on the grand jury, Andrew. How were you selected to be on that panel?
So this is interesting. They take a whole bunch of different lists of names, people who are have driver's licenses in the District of Columbia, who are registered to vote, who are receiving some kind of government assistance. Basically, they try to get as many people as they can who are eligible, and they compile them all, and that's how they pick the names. And for federal employees, as there are many of in the District of Columbia, you get administrative leave to do that. So it's hard to get out of if you're a federal employee. Not a lot of excuses will get you out of grand jury duty, but it was definitely a unique experience to see another side of the justice system here in the U.S.
Andrew, at the top of the show, I mentioned February 13th being World Radio Day. World Radio Day, is World Radio Day trending out there?
It is. A lot of people talking about how important radio is around the world for many people, and a lot of people citing sports as one of the big vehicles for radio, one of the big elements of radio. So a lot of talk about sports, no doubt about Sunny Side of Sports as well, going out to our listeners around the world, and particularly in Africa. A lot of people tuning into us, and we appreciate them for doing so on World Radio Day.
And I think not just in Africa and other regions, but sports talk radio, very popular here in the USA.
Definitely. You know, you have music, news, and sports. They're kind of the trifecta of radio. And maybe you could add politics in there as well. But sports for sure, not just sports talk radio, but then broadcasting a lot of games. A lot of people still listen to the radio. You even see it sometimes baseball games. People will be listening on the radio so they can get the play-by-play, even if they're at the game. So it is still a huge part of the U.S. culture and media consumption.
All right, Andrew, what is trending out there in the sports world?
All right, well, we go from one medium, from radio, to another, and that's Twitter. And some new rules from the NBA or some new suggestions from the National Basketball Association about Twitter use. Now, a little bit of the backstory here. This started in late January. The Portland Trail Blazers called out Memphis Grizzlies forward Chandler Parsons for missing a three-point shot. And they said, to be fair, the NBA three-point line is really, really far away from the basket. So giving him a little grief for missing. And this caused a back and forth between Chandler Parsons and some of the players and the Portland Trailblazers. Well, the NBA didn't like that the Portland Trailblazers used their official Twitter account to strike out against a player. So they issued a statement saying that they wanted teams to be respectful of the use of social media, and teams are prohibited from mocking and or ridiculing opponents, including teams, players, personnel, and game official on social media in any form. So very strong language from the NBA saying they don't want the teams mocking anybody. They want them to play nice on social media. Well, the Atlanta Hawks and the Sacramento Kings had a little bit of fun with this on their social media accounts. They tweeted back and forth over the weekend. The Atlanta Hawks tweeting at the Sacramento Kings saying, "Hey, guys, hope we have a nice, clean game tonight." and let's be nice to each other on social media, okay? And so they had a little bit of back and forth. The Sacramento Kings tweeted back at one point saying, outstanding vision and indescribably awesome slam dunk, responding to a play by, made by the Hawks. And just saying, incredible, you guys are such great fans, thank you so much. And then saying, oh no, you guys are the best, thank you. So really laying it on thick to try to make a little bit of fun at this NBA policy. And then in addition to the NBA teams, you had National Hockey League teams jumping in on this. So you had the Dallas Stars saying to the Nashville Predators, who they were playing over the weekend, they said, let's all have fun and have a good game today. Wait, wrong league. We hope you win. We hope we win and you lose because this is sports. So they're throwing a little bit of grief towards the NBA, and then the Nashville Predators writing back saying, well, we don't like you. So there, go sports. So even another league outside the NBA making fun of that policy a little bit.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, somebody else who's getting a little bit of praise and a little bit of grief on Twitter is Manny Pacquiao. Of course, someone who has been prolific on social media. We've talked about him on the show before. We'll start with the praise. He's getting some praise for doing something a little unique on his Twitter account. He tweeted out yesterday and asked his followers, who do you want me to fight next in the United Arab Emirates when he goes there to fight? And he put up a little poll with Amir Khan, Jeff Hom, Terrence Crawford, and Kell Brook, asking his followers and fans to vote on those. A lot of people noting this is very unique. They don't remember ever somebody taking to Twitter and a Twitter poll to help them decide who their next opponent might be. But as of this point, I just checked, and Amir Khan was leading with 47% of the vote. So we'll see if that ends up happening, that Manny Pacquiao goes with his Twitter followers to make that determination. But he's getting a lot of praise for that. People saying this is a cool way to incorporate your fans. Even if you don't ultimately decide on that, it starts a debate. It kind of kicks off that conversation, and it's good publicity for him as well.
I think the Pac-Man also active on Facebook. I see him posting photos a lot. So he seems to be using social media to his marketing advantage.
He does indeed. Now, however, there is an issue that a lot of people are having problems with and talking about on social media. Of course, Manny Pacquiao isn't just a boxer. He's also a senator in the Philippines, and he is currently arguing against a legislative proposal that would prohibit discrimination on the basis of gender identity. And he's using a lot of biblical verses to talk about that. So that's not sitting well with a lot of fans on social media. They're saying that he shouldn't be using the Bible in that way to defend hate. One claim that Manny Pacquiao made was because he's fighting this bill because he's trying to protect women. People saying he doesn't really care about women. It's his own personal beliefs. But then you do have some fans saying that he's standing up for what he believes in, and they're praising him for that. One person going as far as saying that he's the bravest senator ever. So as we often see with politics, it can sometimes be contentious. You sometimes have that back and forth on social media. We're certainly seeing that among his fans. So we'll see which one of those weighs out, if it's a political debate or the debate over who he might fight next.
We got about a minute left, Andrew. Anything else out there trending?
Yeah, well, last night was the biggest night in music, arguably in the world, with the Grammy Awards in Los Angeles. And so we'll end with a musician who's also been involved in the sports world, and that's Justin Timberlake, of course, a big sports fan. A viral video going around of Justin Timberlake. He's golfing and nearly hits a hole-in-one, gets incredibly close. People commenting on this video saying, really, can he do it all? You know, he can sing, he can dance, he can act. Now he's going to try to get a hole-in-one and do sports. So a lot of conversation about that as that video makes the rounds of Justin Timberlake. But kudos to him for at least almost getting to the hole-in-one. Close but no cigar, but still closer than I think a lot of people would get.
Definitely. Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, and we'll hear from you again on Tuesday.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the February 13th World Radio Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for the pen, Dan. Thank you for the pen. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States congratulates the people of Somalia on the successful conclusion of their national electoral process and the election of Mohamed Abdullahi Mohamed as the next president of the federal government of Somalia. The United States looks forward to working closely with the new president and government. Acting State Department spokesperson Mark Toner said, "We commend the Somali security forces and the African Union mission in Somalia for their efforts over the past 6 months to allow the electoral process to unfold in a relatively safe and secure environment. This transition represents an important step forward for the country." Mr. Toner said, "We commend the thousands of Somalis from across the country, including youth and women, who were able to vote in greater numbers than in the 2012 elections, but regret the numerous credible reports of irregularities in the electoral process. We encourage Somalia's new administration to take credible steps to stamp out corruption and to establish strong electoral institutions to enable a free and fair one-person, one-vote poll in 2020. The formation of a new government is critical to addressing Somalia's most pressing problems, the most immediate of which is perhaps the possibility of famine due to severe drought, rising prices, continued limited access to food, and dry forecasts. The United States looks forward to working in partnership with the president and the new government to advance reconciliation, drought relief, security, and build the strong institutions to deliver good governance and development for the Somali people."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at voanews.com/editorials.
Next on Let's Talk, Love and Valentine's Day in America. Do you have a Valentine? Join host Sunday Shomari and his guests discussing love and Valentine. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Van Dyke, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa. Join me every weekday mornings at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports.
My name is Edward Ameyibo. I listen to Daybreak Africa to be abreast with developments on the continent. I encourage you to do the same.
You can also be a part of the show through our listeners' mail segment. Just send your views to daybreakafrica@voanews.com or call us on 202-205-9942. That's Daybreak Africa, your breakfast show at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.